Hello, this is Robert Hahn Bishop, Director of the Institute for Advancement of Humanity, and your host here on Transforming Reality, our internet talk show spotlighting individuals and organizations working to raise human consciousness and change the world we live in. Today, my guest is Angelo Giuda of the Mate Move Ministry, which was established by the well-known spiritual teacher Adi Da Sumraj to instruct and serve human beings about the death process. Angelo is a certified practitioner of traditional Chinese medicine, a member of the Australian Natural Therapist Association, and the founder of Traditional Botanical Medicine, located in Cobb, California. He has taught seminars about ancient rejuvenation practices and the death process, both here in the USA and internationally. Angelo presently practices traditional Oriental medicine and is the author of the book The Tao of Rejuvenation. Angelo, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Han. It's great to be here.
So would you start by telling us how your life led you to be doing the work you're presently engaged in, especially with respect to the death process?
Well, even as a young boy, I was painfully aware of the fact that by virtue of my birth on planet Earth, that I had received a package deal, that not only did I get birth, but that I also get death. And I was very much aware of this even as a young person. I observed that the people around me were dying. And so it became evident to me that at some point I would die. Someday I would get out of bed in the morning and it would be the day I died. And I was never really able to forget that disturbance over the course of my life, and that disturbance absolutely motivated me to become a spiritual practitioner. It was that disturbance about my inevitable death that motivated me to use my life to realize something greater than birth and death, and it's also the motive that caused me to study traditional medicine and to practice medicine. The same motive in both cases. Then it was my spiritual teacher, Adi Da Sumraj, who really directed us to the study of the death process while we are alive. But one of the best ways to study the death process is to actually serve people who are dying. It allows us to observe and feel the death process as people we know and love are entering into it. It is, for sure, a form of meditating in the graveyard. It is that kind of a practice. It keeps the reality of this place in front of us, and I found it to be not only a spiritually auspicious form of service, but I've also found it to be a very humanizing form of service. So that's how a person like me gets to be a death and dying minister.
So in your tradition, what is believed to happen when someone dies?
What we call the death process involves the shedding of the physical body and the physical environment and the entire physical patterning. At some point, the physical body is broken, it's diseased, the energy, the chi of the physical body has been used up through living. And at some point then, that physical body is shed and released. And then subtler forms of existence continue on, the physical having been shed. But death is not the annihilation of existence. Death is not the annihilation of consciousness, but death is the complete and total shedding of the physical body and the physical environment.
You know, there's an international organization called IAC, the International Academy of Consciousness. They promote a learning to have an out-of-body experience, which some people have naturally, but most people don't. It's also called astral travel. Of course, there's a lot of fascination about that sort of thing, you know, being able to meet people who've passed over before, travel throughout the universe, and all sorts of fascinating experiences, such as people are fascinated by experiences here in three-dimensional reality that we exist in. But the real purpose of what they teach is that having that experience, really having that experience, takes away the fear of death because you know that there's something beyond it.
Yes. The best thing to relieve ourselves of this anticipated fear relative to death is to study the death process. Observe the death process in others And yes, absolutely discover that there is more than the physical. To the degree that a person is simply identified with the physical, then you see death becomes a terrifying affair. So educating ourselves relative to death and dying, serving others in the death process is really a practice that allows us to discover, as you are saying, that there is so much more than the physical. Mm. But the physical is completely shed at the moment of death. Mm. So it requires something of us in that moment. Yeah.
So in your tradition, how are people served when they are dying, and how could that be useful to people from other traditions?
Well, we call people in our culture, in our community, to prepare for death by handling their affairs, their worldly affairs, the practical affairs. In fact, it's good to have those things handled on an ongoing basis, because we never know when we will actually die, and to handle their emotional affairs, heal whatever emotional matters might require healing, to handle their business in preparation for death. The more people handle their business in preparation for death, the easier it is for them to enter into the death process itself. Once a person actually begins to enter into the death process, then we serve that person through what is called a three-day vigil. We protect that person. We instruct that person. We serve that person for 3 days beyond the moment of clinical death. Clinical death is the cessation of the heartbeat and the respiration. In a materialistic society, we tend to look at clinical death, the moment in which the heartbeat and the respiration stop, as death. The person's dead, they're gone. But death, like birth, is a gradual process. It takes place over time. And the being who is associated with that physical body remains associated with that physical body for up to 3 days beyond the point of clinical death. So we take that three-day vigil period very seriously. Practitioners surround the dying person. This will even begin prior to clinical death. Spiritual instruction is offered to the person on a regular basis. Practitioners come around and not only protect that body from invasive energies and invasive procedures in order to allow the dying person to freely release the body, but practitioners will also invoke the divine. They will actually practice their meditation. They will practice their transcendental invocation for the sake of the person who is dying. So in our culture, we take those three-day period around the moment of death very seriously. Then once those 3 days are over, you can feel that the person has fully migrated out of the physical environment. You can feel the difference between day one after death and day three. You can feel that that being has fully disengaged. And at that time, the remains can be cremated, and people are free to have a memorial service in which they remember their friend again. But during those three-day period, it's a very specific spiritual practice that is done in order to invoke the divine for the person who is dying and protect that body from any invasive energies.
That is such a beautiful description of it. It seems so right to do it that way. It's a wonder that in the materialistic society, they've developed a totally different way of treating the body. As you said, as soon as the vital signs stop and the physical body is essentially dead, the body is hauled away and pumped full of embalming fluids and stuffed into a casket and just left alone until people come to pay their respects. So the way that it's served in the spiritual culture you've been discussing seems to be something that anyone could make use of in a very powerful way.
Absolutely. This matter of a vigil beyond clinical death, many cultures have practiced this traditionally. Again, the cultures that were not materialistically based, who understood there was a subtle and psychic process going on in the death process, not simply the cessation and breaking down of the physical organs, these ancient cultures all did some form of a vigil. They did some form of protecting the physical body, understanding that the person was in a very real and profound process of release. When you go to meditate today, say you're going to go and practice your meditation practice while we're still alive here on planet Earth, well, what do people do when they want to go and have a good meditation? They find a place that's quiet. They find a place that's not being disturbed by worldly energies. And these kinds of places allow them then to engage the meditation process with some intensity and profundity. As you were talking about earlier, on the day we die, people don't have to worry about it. They're going to have an out-of-body experience. It's just given. And you want to do on that day at least as much as you would do while you were alive when you were looking to have a good and profound meditation.
What comes to mind is in cutting-edge therapy today, something called spirit releasement, which is an acknowledgement that people can have entities, disembodied individuals who inhabit their bodies. These people are those who have died in some sort of traumatic situation and have not been able to make the transition in the process that you speak about, and perhaps they're in cultures of ignorance about such things. So they tend to be afraid to go to the light and cling to this realm and somehow hang around. So there's phenomena known as ghosts and that kind of thing. But also people can have spirits within them. Does your culture address any of that?
Absolutely. I mean, it's understood that there are all kinds of energies. In this conditional universe, there are all kinds of positive energies that have a healing effect. There are all kinds of energies that have a degenerative effect on the being, on the person, on happiness and well-being. And yes, these negative effects, they're very real. They can be served while we live, and we can serve people relative to those negative energies when they begin to enter into the death process. And yes, traumatic deaths can be difficult transitions for people. You know, the violent energy, many times people are not aware that they're actually dying. This is really one of the reasons why we serve people in the death process. We read instruction to people in the death process. Let people know that they have died, that they are in the death process. Mm-hmm. Let people know that it's all right. Relax, release, allow the death process mm-hmm. to take place. Outside of the fact of a person not wanting to die, the death process itself is benign, and it is a natural process. That is what is to be served. And then beyond clinical death, a person will realize spiritually what they're capable of realizing. And a lot of that is just based on how they've used their life while alive. Mm-hmm. Have they given their life to spiritual practice, or have they just gone along with the flow as it's given? A person's spiritual maturity will certainly be tested and shown in the death process.
I've heard it said that the only questions people really want answered when they die have to do with love. Questions like, did I love enough? Did I show my love enough to the people who mattered to me?
Yeah.
It seems like that is the most important questions that they want to know. All the other activities and amusements that we engage in life fall away, but that is often commonly asked by the person dying.
Yes. Nobody says on their deathbed, gee, I didn't work at the office enough, you know.
Right.
Nobody says that. No, you begin to see as people enter into the death process, mm-hmm. these kinds of life reviews absolutely do take place. Mm-hmm. The state of our relationships, the quality of our relationships, which is really, it's so true, that vigil really is about love. It's about love of God. It's about love of the person, release of the person. Mm. True love really allows absolute release of the person. Adidasa Maharaj had that wonderful line I always love so much, true lovers let one another go, true lovers let one another die. Yes, this is what it's about in life, and it's what it's about in death, love.
Mm. There is a shaman from Africa. His name is Maladoma Somei. He's written several powerful books on African shamanism, and he talks about grieving in his culture. It's understood in his culture that when a person dies, if no one grieves for them, their soul can't go to rest because it means their life didn't really matter at all. So that understanding of spiritual practice and loving is completely understood in that culture in a different kind of a way of it being expressed.
Yes, grieving. It's so important to grieve. It's important for people to feel their sorrow. Really, what you see in people that continue to show all kinds of sorrow, and I see this as a health practitioner all the time, people that are still full of sorrow about things that have happened many, 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 many years ago, is they didn't allow themselves to really feel the sorrow. Mm. But yes, we love this person. The person is going. We will not see the person again. Feel that sorrow. It's completely natural to feel that sorrow. And in allowing ourselves to feel that sorrow, in allowing ourselves to release that person, then the grieving, you see, it doesn't have to go on for years. Mm-hmm. We don't become a kind of living ghost in our grief. We allow ourselves to grieve. We allow ourselves to let the person go. And then we can move on, and the dying person can move on to whatever their destiny is next.
Yes, beautifully said, Angelo. How do you believe this understanding about death contributes to the raising of human consciousness altogether? We're at a time when there seems to be a paradigm shift in how we are as a species altogether. And one of the most important things in ushering in this new era is this raising of human consciousness. So how do you feel that this understanding of the death process contributes to that?
The understanding of the death process, as you observe and serve people in the death process, absolutely serves to break down this scientific, materialistic point of view, which thoroughly infects the modern era. The materialistic point of view is that I am this meat body, we live on a rock, the earth, and when we're dead, we're dead. That point of view is false. We were supposed to outgrow that point of view as we grew up out of infancy and through adolescence. We're supposed to outgrow these points of view and discover that we don't actually live in a physical realm. We live in a psychophysical realm, and discover that that psychophysical realm is appearing in the divine consciousness itself. That's what we're supposed to do as we grow and mature as human beings. The degree to which human beings realize the falsity of the materialistic point of view, the degree that they discover that we are all absolutely connected, then that moralizes humanity, and that's a good thing. To the degree that human beings discover that this life and this death, this inevitable death, are appearing in a bright divine reality, to the degree that people realize that, then it liberates humanity. This is something that has to happen more and more for all beings.
Again, well said, Angelo. A few years ago, my mother passed away, and it was a very difficult time for me. I felt much gratitude to Adi Da for his wisdom teaching about the death process during that time. It was of immense help to me in serving her transition in the ways that you spoke of earlier. There's one particular quote from Adi Da that I'd like to read for our listeners now. It's from one of his books entitled Easy Death. To confront death in truth, you must be humbled and confounded. The death of another reminds you that in every moment, you are principally confronted not by defined objects that are independent of you, but by an indefinable process that includes you. Therefore, in the face of the death of another, be moved to God. Remain sensitive to your present relationship with the one who has been irrevocably transformed before your eyes. Let the grosser parts return to the dimension of original elements, but remain free and happy, allowing that one to be a blissful sacrifice into the great mystery that also obliges you. Surrender into infinity with all your friends. Hold on to no thing and no one, not even yourself. Be certain of no knowledge. Forget all things in present happiness, and so forgive the universe for all its playful changes. Always love one another, and so forgive one another for appearing, for changing, and for passing out of present sight. So be it. I've passed this quote on to some folks who were serving the transition of another, and it was always appreciated and meaningful to each of them.
So be it, brother. It's just beautiful. Beautiful piece.
Yes, it is. So, Angelo, could you tell us about any educational programs and services that you presently offer for the general public?
I periodically do easy death seminars. These are seminars based on the great master work on death and dying by Adidas and Raj called Easy Death. I do seminars in Northern California, in the Bay Area, periodically. If people want to get a hold of me and find out about the scheduling of those matters or find out any more about the Mate Move Death and Dying Ministry, they can contact me off of my website, which is tbmedicine.com. That's T for traditional, B for botanicalmedicine.com. They're welcome to write to me off the website, and I'll respond to them there.
Okay, well, Angelo, thank you so much for sharing the wisdom of Mate Move about the mystery of death and dying that awaits us all. Everyone who is born will die, and so everyone should be concerned about preparing for death in the most benign and auspicious way. The teachings of Adidas Amraj with respect to death certainly point that way.
Thank you, Han, for the opportunity to consider this with you. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. And to our listeners, we at Transforming Reality Radio would like you to be on our mailing list. So please send us an email request at atrradio@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to being with you all next time.